Good morning. I want to do something real quick. Look around. Look around you. Those are some pretty people, aren't they? Man, I was listening in worship and watching you guys, and I'm just so excited about the crowd that's here this morning. And I know that you're probably here because we were starting a new series, or Ronnie was supposed to begin a new series called Your Journey. But unfortunately, he caught one of the many bugs going around. Probably the same one I had last week when I was supposed to preach. And he called me on Friday. He called me on Wednesday. He said, man, I'm not feeling good, but just wanted you to know I'm not feeling good, but I think I'm going to be okay. This was after work on Wednesday. On Thursday, he called me. He said, man, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. The cough's kind of going away. I think I'm good. Friday, he called me, and he said, hey, man, I just want to let you know. And I said, okay, so I need to preach. He said, yeah. Which I'm kind of excited about it because it gives me an opportunity to preach a message that I was supposed to preach last week. But I didn't really work on it a lot because I was sick. So I had a couple of days to work on it, so I was excited about that. And I am excited to share it with you guys. How many of you are excited about the new year? Raise your hand. We're going to need some interaction today, okay? So you're excited. I love the new year. I love when it comes around, that number changes, the fourth number changes. It creates some excitement. I love the feeling of a fresh start. It puts a little pep in my step, you know, a little giddy up in my go. And I like it. It's a great time to renew your goals, refresh your spirit, recommit to some priorities, reorganize your life, refry some beans. I just like Mexican food. Okay. Anyway, it is a time. I always find myself at the beginning of the year making lists. Do you make lists? Are you list makers? I find myself, and that's what I find myself sitting down with pen and paper and going, okay, this was 2017, baby, but this is 2018. It's going to be new. We're going to get to work. Because apparently my life fell apart in the previous year. But that's always the way you feel. And so this morning we were talking. I was actually talking to the guys, and I hadn't really had a really chance to bounce anything off of anybody. So I was talking to the band this morning, and Travis Chapman, the drummer, swears to me that there's no way you guys are going to participate in this. So this is all about proving him wrong, okay? But I want to hear some New Year's resolutions from you guys this morning. If you're willing to do that, speak up. You know, there's nobody here really. Just imagine it's me and you. New Year's resolution, go ahead. Oh, okay, don't get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me, man. Come on. What? I mean, you know, it don't have to be yours. What's resolutions people make? Give me one. Diet. Lose weight. You doggone right. Every one of y'all said that. Every single one of y'all. Maybe there's a real skinny person here, but nobody likes you anyway. Listen, every one of y'all have made a resolution about, you know, it's the year. Trimming it down. And look, I know what I am, okay? I could stand to lose an Australian Shepherd or two, you know, and it's okay. But lose the weight, but not just losing weight. It could be just getting healthy, you know. It could be exercise. I want to exercise more. What's something else you do when you're trying to lose weight? I don't even know. Oh, diet. It could be about your nutrition, what you're doing. Okay, so I get that. Getting healthy, absolutely. What's something else? What? Did he say growing a man bun? Because that's what I heard. That has to be the baldest man in the room. There he is. Okay. Hey, keep him goals, keep him dreams up, baby. You know what I'm saying? Keep him up there. What do you make resolutions about? What's something else? Relationships. Absolutely. I like that. Relationships. So many of our resolutions are about relationships, about spending more time with what? Family, absolutely. Rekindling the romance in our marriage, right? Being a better parent. Those are resolutions. I like that, man. It's deep. I love it. What about something else? Nobody wants to say it because y'all know it's true. What else? Money. Money. Absolutely. Yes, that's a camouflage wallet. Don't judge. Look, money. We all make resolutions about money. What do we want to do? We want to spend less and we want to save. Absolutely. That is what we want to do. We just want to watch that bank account grow, you know. We got visions of how we're going to have, you know, the finances, cash in our future. What else? Oh, yeah, spiritually. I love it. We make spiritual resolutions, right? I want to grow closer. I want to be closer to God. I want to pray more. I want to read my Bible more. Definitely spiritually, I love that resolution. That is definitely what we do. What about it? What about this? I got one. I'll just throw it out there. What about quitting a habit? You ever make resolutions about quitting something? No? Just, okay. What about Facebook? I love it. Everybody's like, no, I don't do nothing wrong. We in church, and I don't have any habits. Those are for the devil. Yeah, maybe you want to quit something. Maybe it's simple stuff. I mean, it could be we'll keep it you know, low key here for church. Maybe it's your Facebook addiction. Yes, you have it. Maybe it's just your phone in general. Maybe you just want to. I feel like this is starting to take control of my life, and I want to use it less. Especially, you know how you know when that's happening? When the battery dies before 10 a.m., guys. You've got a problem, okay? And you can say, my phone's getting old. All you want to, okay? It's not the truth. You're on it too much. So, yeah, quitting habits is something we do. Does anybody here, does anyone make a resolution about work? Yeah, don't get fired. That's all they get from me. I'm going to do just enough to not get fired. What some of us do, some of us make resolutions about work, about, you know, maybe we want to be better leaders, or we want to, you know, get that promotion, we want to work hard, maybe, I don't know, maybe we don't. A lot of this stuff is on our list, guys. And unfortunately, as Charlie was so nice to say, what normally happens? Anybody want to tell me? They go unmet. I know I'm not being super encouraging right now. But most of the time, we make these grand resolutions, and in our mind, we have these visions of these incredible things that are going to happen. You know, we're going to lose weight, and you know what you envision. I envision the same thing. I envision, when I say I'm going to lose weight, I don't imagine Tim minus 10 pounds. I imagine Chris Hemsworth. That's Thor, in case you don't know. That's what I see in my future. Okay, maybe that's not going to happen. I imagine when I talk about money and I want to spend less and I want to save more, I imagine at the end of this year I'm going to have enough money to finally buy that piece of property in the Midwest that I have wanted so desperately. That's probably not going to happen. We do it, don't we? We have these visions of all of these things we want. You envision incredible things. Maybe if it is about rekindling the romance, wives, you envision that your husband all of a sudden become a new man. He becomes Brad Pitt, and he comes to pick you up and take you to Paris, and he's got roses and jewelry. Husbands, you imagine your wife looking at you across your brand new bass boat and winking at you as she's grilling a steak. Like, that's what you imagine. You imagine family time, playing, like, you're playing board games, and your son comes up, sits in your lap, dad's, and he goes, "Oh, Dad, you're just the best." Kids come running and give you big kisses on the cheek before they go to bed. That's what we imagine. We imagine our bosses coming in and just handing us a bonus check that was enough money to buy that Midwest property anyway. Putting you up in front of everybody at work and saying, "This is the best employee there's ever been, ever in the history of employees." When we make our resolutions, that is what we envision. And most of the time, if I'm being honest, most resolutions lead to complete and utter failure. Most. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, this is what it says. It says, finishing is better than starting. And we have a real history of getting real excited about starting and doing a really poor job of finishing. Did you catch that? We can sure get fired up about starting, but most of the time, we don't finish. So this morning, I want to share with you a story in the Bible that I believe can help us fulfill our resolutions. Now, this is just kind of a piece of the story I'm going to tell, but last year, Ronnie gives me things to do quite often, and he asked me to read the book of Joshua. And so I've preached out of Joshua a few times this year, or the last year, and I'm going to do it again today. And so Joshua chapter 10 is where we're going to be. And I'm going to kind of set this story up for you because it's such a good lesson about resolutions and goals. In Joshua chapter 10, we join the Israelites as they are being led into the promised land by Joshua. Okay? And as you know, and you've probably read this or heard some of these sermons, stories before, they're moving into the land, and in order to inhabit the land that God had promised them, they have to conquer the land, right? They had to remove all of the enemies that held the land. These people had cities already. They had armies established already. And as they came to a city, they would have to conquer that city. And where we're picking up here, they had already watched as the walls of Jericho fell. They had already had the big misstep with the city of Ai. And then they had already battled Ai for the second time and won, and were completely victorious. And that's where we're picking up, is following the battle at Ai. Now, I want to paraphrase this like a madman, because just to be honest with you guys, if I tried to pronounce all the names that are in this story, it would be embarrassing for me. And so I'm just not going to do it, okay? And so I'm going to kind of paraphrase this story. But here's what happens. The Israelites had reached a treaty with one of the cities in the Promised Land called Gibeon. And there's a long story about how that happened. This really doesn't matter for what we're talking about. But an Amorite king, and we're going to call him Donnie, okay? It's just the name I chose. Had heard about this alliance between Gibeon and the Israelites. And he had also heard about how Joshua and the Israelites had squashed Ai. And Ai was known for having very gritty, great warriors. And so after after this king, Donnie, had heard that, he picked up the phone. And guess what he starts doing? He starts calling. They don't have phones, but I mean, you get the idea. He starts calling all these other Amorite kings. And this is, and I don't know how the spiel went, but I think this is the general gist of it. He says, hey guys, whatever their names are, he said, I just want to let you know that, in case you haven't heard, Gibeon has entered into a treaty with the Israelites. And the Israelites already defeated Ai. I think we're in trouble. How about we bind together and we create our own alliance? It's like Survivor. Is that show still going on? And we create our own alliance, and that way we can meet these guys in battle. And so that's what he does. And he calls four. So he ends up with five kingdoms that are all in an alliance together to face Israel and Gibeon. Now, the first thing on their list was to attack Gibeon. That's what they were going to do. So that as soon as they all got together, they came up with a plan. Here's what we're going to do. First thing, we need to get rid of Israel's ally. That's what we're going to do. We're going to attack that city. And so that is what they did. And so all of the Amorite kings got their armies together, and they began to move the entire army to the city of Gibeon. Now, what does Gibeon do? They pick up the phone, and they say, hey, Joshua, just want to let you know that these guys, the Amorite kings, are coming after us, and they're about to attack us, and we're going to need some help. Don't leave us stranded. We got a treaty. We got a truce. Come help us. So Joshua and all the Israelite soldiers, it says in the Bible, picked up. They left their camp at Gilgal, and they head to Gibeon to meet the five Amorite kings and their armies. And this is where I want to read from. Read with me in verse 8. So as they're in route, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them, talking about the Amorites, for I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's a pretty good promise. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Verse 10 says, the Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up into these towns. Now I want you to listen to me. Let me paint a picture of what happened right here. So Joshua and the Israelites get there. They meet the five Amorite kings, and God promises, says, don't worry about it. You're going to whip them. Don't worry about it. You're going to take care of them. And they beat them at Gibeon, but then these five Amorite kings begin to run. They're trying to flee to get away from the Israelites. And what do the Israelites do? Somebody tell me. They pursue them. They keep going. They say, man, we're going to catch them. You're not getting away today. We're not going to fight you tomorrow. We're going to get you today. Read with me in verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, so this is as they're chasing them, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation, meaning Israel, avenged itself on its enemies, as is written in the book of Joshua. Now look what happened. Look what God did with what Joshua said. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day, I love this, man. I just love it. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel that day. Then Joshua returned with all of Israel to the camp at Gilgal. All right. So you got these resolutions. And you read it, we read this story, you say, okay, Tim, what is it? What is it in this story that's going to help me with my New Year's resolutions, right? What is it? You say, well, I see that they had formed an alliance. Is that what you're talking about, Tim? We need to have allies as we face our New Year's resolution. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's good. That is something you probably hear in a different kind of conference. You say, well, I see that Joshua took all of his fighting men up to meet these guys, and he was obviously prepared for this battle. So is that what you're talking about with our resolutions? We need to be prepared? Well, I think it is good to be prepared, man, always. I like being prepared. You say, well, Tim, I see that he prayed. Is that what you're going to tell us today? You're going to say, Tim, you're going to say, guys, here's what I need you to do. You need to pray about your resolutions. That's what you need to be doing. Well, you know, I believe that prayer is always a good thing. But it's not that he prayed. It's what he prayed. Because I believe when we look at what Joshua prayed, we get a sense of Joshua's mentality. I believe we see Joshua's mindset. We see how he viewed this battle, how he viewed what they were doing. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Look at his prayer. Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. And God answered him. See, what I noticed about Joshua, and what I noticed when I read the book, is that Joshua, on this day, wanted to win that battle that day. He wanted to win the battle today. What he wanted to do. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. You see, the Israelites were on a pretty incredible journey. And they had this goal. And this goal was to what? Live in the promised land. That is the goal, okay? That is the end game. That's where they want to be. But in order to get there, they were going to have a lot of battles. They were going to fight a lot of battles. They were going to have to face multiple enemies. They were going to have to face the elements of just the traveling with the group of people that they had. They were going to have to overcome their own mistakes and their own bad judgment. And we see that very early on. But as Joshua led his people, what we see is that Joshua was a battle a day kind of guy. That's what he believed in. He believed in a battle a day. He understood that winning the day was the most important step in their journey. Winning the battle at hand was what counted. And the same is true for us. If we want to fulfill our resolutions, if we even want to get close to meeting our goals, getting to where we want to be, we have to win today's battle. See, we have such a tendency, man. We have such a tendency to have these big, elaborate goals, resolutions, whatever it is you want to call it, dreams maybe for some of us. And the truth is that most of the time we get so transfixed on them that we're not focused on the battle at hand. See, if you think about the Israelites' journey, they went from Jericho to Ai to now fighting the Amorite kings. They had one step to take at a time. In order to get there, we have to win here. So why don't we look at what's here? Why don't we look at what's in front of us today? So you ask me, you say, Tim, what do you mean? What are you talking about? This is what I want to try to explain. This was really important for me to see, because what I realized is that when you look at it from as a day, it changes everything. It changes what you have to do. Say you want to lose weight. I want to lose that Australian Shepherd. Okay? He needs to come off. When I just say that, and I know we say that kind of stuff to one another all the time, when I just say that, and I might have a plan, and it might be this big plan of all of these things we've got to do, but you know what today's battle could be for me? Today's battle could just be that I don't eat anything after 8 o'clock. What about if I win that battle? What about if it's just, I'm going to drink water? I'm going to keep it simple. That's going to be my daily battle. My daily battle is I'm going to drink water. And I will fight that battle until I win it. And all I drink is water. See, it changes the way you look at everything. Money. If it's about your finances, why don't you do this? Why don't you just cancel your Amazon account? Don't get mad at me, okay? I like Amazon too. But I'm telling you, what if that's it? What if you look at your life and you go, man, you know what? I got a real tendency to do. I get on eBay all the time. What if that is your battle? What if that's the battle that you're going to win today? Today, I don't get on eBay. See, it changes. It changes the way you look at it. Your goals will be different. Your resolutions will be different. Family. What if it's about family? Man, what if it's about your kids? What if it's this? What if it's, I'm going to be present while we're in the car on the ride to school? What if that's the resolution? What if that's the daily battle? To not cut on the radio, to not make a phone call to work, to not answer a work phone call. What if the battle is, that's your daily battle? When I'm with my kids, I'm present in the car. Now, I'm speaking truth to you, okay? Are you hearing me? Or is this boring you to death? If it's about your marriage, what if it's just like, what if it's this? I thought of this one the other day, and I want to do it, babe, wherever you at. What if it's no matter what, we have one phone conversation every day that's about nothing? What if that's my daily battle? We have one phone conversation not about anything. It's not about what we're having for supper. It's not about who's picking up the kids. Every single day, though, during our work day, we're going to have one phone conversation that's just about nothing. It's just, hey, how are you? Just want to check on you. I love you. And I hope you have a great day, and that's it. What if that was the battle that you want to win today? You know what's so beautiful about these? You know why I love them? You can win them. You can. You can sit down and you can make a list of these things. And I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can win these battles. If it's about quitting a habit, getting rid of an addiction, what if it's no phones after 6 p.m.? That's a battle you can win. That's a battle you can win. If it is spiritual, and man, I hope you got a spiritual one. What if it's just like, you know, we get so caught up, we think we're supposed to be these super Christians, you know. We think that that's what's going to, my New Year's resolution for 2018 is I'm going to be super Jesus follower, you know. That's what we see we want to do. We're going to, before we know it, we're lighting the bonfires at the house just by calling down fire. I mean, that's what we envision, you know, us doing. Why don't you do this? Why don't you make a resolution that today you pray? Don't somehow, some way, at some point, today I pray. That's my daily battle. I'll pray. This is not the first time in my life I've heard this kind of lesson, or I've learned this lesson. I'll tell you guys a real quick story. When I was 12 years old, I started working for a guy. And at 14 years old, I worked for Dr. Oliver at the Wahala Vet Clinic. And I was working for him, and he wanted me to, I always clean kennels. And about 14, he decided that he was going to move me out to the farm. And so he would pick me up, or he would meet my mom or whatever. I'd get in the truck, and he would drop me off, and we'd do different things. Well, very early on, as working on the farm, and I was super excited about this, Dr. Oliver picked me up one day, and he took me to Ace Hardware. And he said, "All right, boy." He said, "I want you to pick the weapon of your choice that is like a bush axe, one of these." You know what a bush axe is? Anybody know what a bush axe is? It's about this tall. It's got a curved blade on it. And he said, "I want you to pick one that you like." And so I walked, and they had some, you know, different handles and different feels and different lengths. And I picked me one. He said, "All right." Now I'm like, you know, I've got my own tool now. This is exciting, you know. I am working on the farm. And so Dr. Oliver takes me, and he takes me to a rental property that he had. Now, we're looking, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to cut something down, obviously. We walk around back, and there's an acre and a half lot, fenced-in lot, that has completely grown up in privet. And I'm talking about, you know what privet hedge is? I mean, some of it was like this. And it was, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 feet tall. And he said, "Tim, you're going to clear this summer." And I said, "With what?" And he said, "With that bush axe." And I said, I mean, "You think I can?" He said, "Yeah, you just get in there and start swinging it, son." And so I said, "Okay." And so that's what we would do, is every day he'd pick me up, and then, or he'd meet me with my mom or whatever, he'd pick me up, and he would drop me off there. And I would go out there with that bush axe, and I would swing that bush axe, and I would swing it. I mean, I could swing both hands. I cut stuff down. And then what I would do is I would take it, and I learned some very valuable lessons, by the way, doing this, that you always put the biggest one on the bottom, on the back of the truck, because then you can just grab that one and snatch the whole pile out of the back of the truck with one go. You know what I mean? But that's what I did. And I'd take it out in the field and put it in a burn pile. Cut it down, take it out in the field, put it in a burn pile. And that's what I did for weeks. My hands were bleeding. They were bleeding like crazy. I was working hard every day. I felt like, you know, I started getting a little pumped up. I felt good. It was my first time ever really doing work like that. And I'll never forget it. One day I just looked up, and I was about done. I about had it licked. So that whole week, I was excited. I got finished up one day just after lunch, spent a little time picking up. And the only thing I was concerned with the rest of the day was looking cool when Dr. Oliver got there. So Dr. Oliver, he pulled up. I got him leaned up on a fence post. I got that bush axe that's now worn, you know. Leaned up, I probably was in a tank top. That's what I wore all the time back then. I'm sitting like this right here, and I'm like, "That's right." Dr. Oliver, he walks. He said, "Well, let me walk around there and look." So we walk around there and look. He's looking. He goes, "Man, Tim, it looks good." And if you don't know Dr. Oliver, I do a little quick impression of him. That Will like this. And he's everywhere he goes, he walks like this. He walks real fast. And, you know, it's just what he does. When he's moving, he's just moving. He's moving real fast. And he'll appreciate that, I'm sure, if he hears this. But then, so he's walking around looking. He said, "Tim, I just want to tell you." He said, "You did a great job, son. That's a good job. I really like what you did." He said, "But can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Sure, you can." Now he's asking me questions. And he said, "Why'd you cut them all off at the knee?" I said, "Why? I don't know. That's just where my swinging height was, you know." He said, "Well, we're going to have to cut all them off at the ground, son." So that's what I did for the rest of the summer, was cut all these off at the rest of the ground. But I'll tell you this, and that's a funny story, but the truth of the matter is this. That was the first time in my life I ever had something, I think, put in front of me that was so big that I didn't think there was any possible way that I would ever finish it. Not with the tool I had, not with who I was. And I'm telling you, Dr. Oliver's advice was good. It was get in there and swing it, son, and get it done every day, and before you know it, you'll be done. And I'm telling you, if you will change your perspective about your goals, about your resolutions, what you will find is this. You string together some wins, and before you know it, you are a lot closer to your resolution than you would have been before. At the end of it, I might not, 2018, Tim might not lose an Australian Shepherd. I might lose like a Chihuahua. But that's still better than where I would have been. I'm telling you guys, man, take another look. Take a second look. We're only in the first week of the year. This is not backtracking. Take another look. Look at your life smaller. Look at your life by the day. And this is a biblical principle, man. Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow, for it'll take care of itself. Give us this day our daily bread. The Bible is full of references to focusing on the day at hand. You win those battles, and I'm telling you, you'll get there. Can I pray for you? Here we go. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for everybody that's here. And I'm just so excited about the crowd that's here. God, I pray that you bring them back next week. And I pray that we do take the time this week to look at our goals, look at the things that we have set, that you've set before us, that you've put on our hearts, things that we want to do, be more healthy, be more financially stable, to have, be closer with our families. And God, I pray to be closer to you. And I pray that we will begin to back up a little bit and look at our lives a little simpler and choose some things, pick some battles that, God, you will help us win. And I just would love to see that. I would love to see us becoming the people you want us to be and growing closer to you every day and, man, enjoying the year that we have in front of us. God, help us to take every day as it comes, and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen. Thank you so much for being here. If all goes according to plan, we'll start the new series next week. Hope y'all have a great weekend. Rest of your weekend. Bye.